my hat.
All right. I'm preaching, the sermon title is Dealing with Things of God. And I'm reading from Luke 2, 41 through 52. Every year, Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up as they always did for the feast. When it was over, they left for home. The child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know that. Thinking he was somewhere in the company of the pilgrims, they journeyed a whole day and then began looking for him among their relatives and neighbors. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. The next day they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were all quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. His mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." And Jesus said, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here dealing with the things of my father?" But they had no idea what he was talking about. So he went back to Nazareth with them and lived obediently with them. His mother held these things deeply and dearly within herself. And Jesus matured, growing up in body and spirit, and blessed by God and people. I liked it. It's a challenging passage. And if you think about it, Jesus said what? "Didn't you know that I was here dealing with the things of my Father?" And Jesus' whole ministry was what? Helping us learn what the things of the Father were. If you look at the Colossians passage, it says some of the things. "Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. Wear love as your basic garment. Reach out. God picked us out to show us compassion, kindness, humility, quiet, strength, and discipline. We're to be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense, and all that stuff." I mean, think about it. It's amazing what God has done. And in 2014, we took that passage in Colossians, and we made it our New Year's resolution. And there were 7 things we were going to do. So here they are, and I was going to share them, because if you need a resolution for this year, this might be your thing. One was compassion or empathy towards those who you interact with every day. This action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experiences of another. Compassion. Relating to people. You see, let's face it, we can see someone's face and tell that they aren't happy. They might be sad. They might be happy, sad. They're bothered. Something's on their mind. Out of compassion, reach out and talk to them. Say, "Hey, what's happening? Anything you want to share?" Compassion. Second, kindness. It's a direct action we need to take. The quality or state, and these all have the definitions from the dictionary, so that's what I'm reading. The quality or state of being kind. I always like that. Kindness is just being kind. So what is being kind? Hang on. We have that. Having or showing a gentle nature, a desire to help others, wanting and liking to do good and to bring happiness to others. We're here to help others. We see something. I guess I have that gift of servitude, because I see things and just kind of fill in the gap, take care of it, and people don't even know. It's just one of those things that we in our heart can do to those around us. If we're aware and can see and analyze that ever popular golden verse, "Do unto others as you have them do unto you." I would like someone to do that. Hey, I'll go ahead and do it for them. Great way to live. Number 3 is humility. And the thought that should go with that is it's not about you. Humility is the quality of state of not thinking you are better than anyone else. It's to be humble, not proud, not thinking of yourself as better than other people. given to or said in a way that shows you do not think you are better than other people. Just basically what? Humility. Knowing sometimes you're wrong. Hey, and acknowledging that. Sometimes humility is just being there as the second and listening to someone and not offering advice. You need the talk? Let me listen. I don't have to offer advice. Humility says we don't. Our pride says we do. Humility says just listen and let them vent. If they ask you a question, answer it honestly. Number four is to be gentle. Has gentleness, meekness, quiet strength, depending on what version you read. This is the quality or state of being gentle, just like kindness. They can't quite figure it out, right? You put the word-ness behind it, and they go right back to the word gentle. And gentle is having or showing a kind and quiet nature.
Amen.
Not harsh or violent. So, obviously, it means don't go off the deep end on somebody. Try to understand where they're coming from. Gentleness. My dog is a rescuer. And to be gentle with him is to let him have his space and to come to me. Being gentle with him means he has to set the parameters, which I'm fine with. And he's come a long way, but he still has problems with visitors. He just doesn't trust them yet. So he keeps going, but I try to be as gentle as I can with him and offer him options. If someone comes to see me and he's uncomfortable, I'll let him go outside because the yard is his. And gentleness says, I acknowledge that you want the ability to run away from someone knowing they cannot catch you, and I will let you have that option. Number five is patience. To bear with one another. And patience is the capacity, habit, or fact of being patient. So being able to remain calm, not become annoyed when waiting for a long time, or dealing with a problem or difficult people, you're patient with them. Patience. We could use that when the line is long and we're trying to get in and out of a store. Patience is amazing things that you can do. It's not hard. It is kind of hard sometimes. You're watching somebody do something, you know you could have it done just like that if they'd let you, but patience, humility, and kindness says you have to let them do it. All that says also that you love enough for them that you allow them. You're doing God's work, remember? Dealing with the things of God. That means people letting them be who they are and do what they're doing, even if it takes them 10 times as long as it take you to do it, let them do it. Because they need that. And if they do, be gentle. Be patient. Six is forgiveness. That means letting go. The act of forgiving someone or something, to stop feeling anger toward someone who has done something wrong, to stop blaming others. Forgiveness means we have to what? Come to deal with whatever it is that's angered us and figure out what it was, what we need to correct. Take that gentleness, the compassion, the humility, the kindness, the gentleness, all that stuff. And remember that God is 100% love. And if I'm going to do the things of my God, then I have to remember that forgiveness is part of that. I can't let something stand between me and the others. I have to forgive. And not only that, I have to make sure they know I forgive them. Sometimes that's hard. And of course, the last one is love. A feeling of strong or constant affection for other people. Jesus was amazing. Here he was, 12 years old. He was sitting down with the teachers of the temple. And what happened? They were totally impressed with the sharpness of his answers. They were challenging this boy with all the rules and regulations and passages of the Bible. Does this kid really know God? He did. So intimately that he was the Son of God. So yes, Yes, Jesus knew God. Even though his parents were expecting him what to behave and to come with him, he had a drawing to be there with the teachers. What? To help them to realize love is the answer. It's not all the rules that might be set down to separate us from God. It is God's unconditional love for us. That love is an amazing thing we just experienced yesterday in Christmas. God so loved the world that it gave his only son. That we might experience love and compassion as God meant it to be experienced. I have one more thing. You know me and songs. Dolly Parton, and it's one of her newer ones. It says, "Why Can't We?" And I've quoted it before, but I like what it says, because it says, "Look how the wind carries the seed. See how the soil supplies what it needs. The rain falls, the sun shines, and the flower breaks free. And all of it works together. So why can't we? I've seen children to play in a park, skin shades of ivory, red, yellow, and dark. Well, my eyes saw colors their little hearts could not see, because they were playing together. So why can't we? Why can't we love? Why can't we? I love you and you can love me. Why can't we do this? Set our foolish pride free. Just be and let be. Why can't we? I had a dream about a lion and a lamb. They were playing together. There was peace in the land. The swords became plowshares because there was no enemies. We all love one another. Why can't we love one another? I can love you and you can love me. Why can't we? Why can't we understand that our foolish pride stands quite often in the way? Set it aside and just be and let be. So why can't we? It's an amazing thought if you think about it. God loves us 100%. God wants us here to do God's dealings. Dealing with the things of God, and that's 100% love to those around you. So this week, share that love you have for those around them. Help people know that you love them unconditionally, and you love them because God has loved you first. And if at all possible, share the fact that God loves them as well. Sometimes they don't want to hear it. So if it's just you loving them, that might be all they need. But go for it, because we need to do those things of God, and that's love one another. Amen. Amen.